Christ tearing the veil and making a way for us. And so, turn your Bibles with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And we're going to look at a few verses. Really, we're going to pick our way through the first 18 verses. There's things here I want you to see about Jesus and about moving forward in 2025. I thought this week about not so much what I'm looking for the future, for this coming year, but kind of went back over this past year. And we had some successes, and we had some, I don't think we had anything that I would call a failure, but we had a few things that we failed to plan for as well as we should have and didn't go as well as they should have. And there are different things that took place. We went from kind of one extreme to another, it seemed like. But God did a great work in this church through this last year. And I keep thinking about there's so much more that we can do and doing things better. But as I thought about all of that, I began to think about some of the conversations I've had with people over the year. And the things that they were talking to me about, not everybody, but there were several that I've talked with this past year and really over the last couple of years about struggles that they're going through in their life, and it's with their walk with Christ and what they're struggling with and what they're feeling in that attempt to walk with Christ is the feelings of shame and regret, shame and just a grief that comes over a shortfalling that I hear so many believers in Christ have. And there are days that, as I said, looking back over some things that we didn't, and when I say we, I'm talking about me and in main part, didn't plan for well, I think, boy, we've got to do a lot better this year. I've got to do different. I've got to make sure these things take place and all that. And there's certainly a place for that shame and for that grief when we've messed up. But I want you to see something about Jesus today that I believe will help you as you go into 2025, that we're not in a performance-based religion. We're in a relationship with the living God. And I want you to see, if we can do anything today, I want you to see yourself the way that Jesus sees you. And see the why he came, why Jesus has done what he did for us. So there in verse 14 in John 1, I'm going to read these next four or five verses, and we'll bounce around. Keep your Bibles open after this. But in verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we observed His glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning Him and exclaimed, 'This was the one of whom I said, the one coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me. Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. And for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side, he has revealed him.'" Let's go to God in prayer. Father, show us not just your word, but show us this clear picture of you today. We understand that John is writing wrote a prologue here that explains everything that comes after it in this book of John, in this gospel of the life of Jesus. And Father, we ask you to just remind us who you are. Lord Jesus, remind us who you are and the relationship that you want with us, that you came to show us, and we'll give you the thanks and glory and praise today. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, the first thing that we see here is in verse 14. With John's writings and really a lot of the gospel Gospel of John, and when he's writing the prologues and these kinds of things, and also I found it in the book of Hebrews, really, that I have to almost take the scriptures there word by word, not verse by verse, because there's so much wrapped up in the words, the meaning of the words. But John describes Jesus here in verse 14 as the Word. This is the person of Jesus, and John is wanting us to understand this person of Jesus, who Jesus is. There's a lot there, and I want you to go back with me to verse 1. Excuse me, verse 1, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And that light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it." What is that saying about Jesus as the Word? The word, this translated word there, many of you know, is the word logos. In the Greek, it's where we get our word for logo. When we have a logo, excuse me, we look at that logo and we see the whole story. When you see the golden arches, you think of McDonald's French fries, probably. Y'all, excuse me just a moment. We'll get through this today. Yes, ma'am, that wouldn't be a bad idea. You think of many people think of Starbucks and the logo there, and they think of coffee. I see Dunkin' Donuts, and I'd rather have the coffee than the donuts from Dunkin' Donuts. When I see that, I like that. We understand that idea of a logo, of an icon, that Jesus is also very similarly referred to as an icon. In the scriptures, where we see Him and we see everything. That's the idea, that when we see Jesus, we see it all. When we see Jesus, we see God Himself, the Father. That, I hear people say things like, well, the Old Testament was about God the Father and He's judgment and wrath and all that. And then we come to Jesus in the New Testament and He's grace and mercy. No, no, no. Jesus was there, John says, from the beginning. From the absolute beginning, there is no separation between God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. They have the same purpose, the same goals, they do different jobs in our lives, but with the same intent. They're working completely together. And what we see here about Him, it says He was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You'll have people every now and then tell you that the Bible doesn't say that Jesus is God, but it does right there in the first verse of John. Okay, understand that. He was in the beginning. He was with God in the beginning. The beginning of what? Before anything was created, Jesus was there. That's who we're talking about. He's an amazing God. He's the Creator. And not only the Creator, it says in Him was life. And that life was the light of men. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness didn't overcome it, did not overcome it. Jesus is the one that gives life. Our life comes through Him. And He is also light that allows us to view this life that we have. We can view this world and the life that we live through Him. And when we do, things look much better. The darkness tries to overcome it, but it can't. We keep talking about that, I keep talking about this at Christmas, and I almost defy you to pick some kind of Christmas decoration, a normal, traditional Christmas decoration that is not a picture of Jesus. In what it is doing, the light, the decorations, the gifts, the tree, the everything. Christmas is about Him. Even people that say, "I want nothing to do with Him," put up Christmas trees and they put lights all over their house and they do all these things that just show the world. Jesus is showing the world, you can't get away from me. You can't avoid me. But I heard one description of this word, a way to describe the idea of Jesus being the Word. And the Word, the way they described it is that Jesus is the story. How many of you like to hear stories? Tell stories, not lies, stories. I've been listening to some books about some of the mountain men. I've always loved that era of the Old West, the mountain men and the Indians, and more than the cowboys. And one of the things I've been seeing is and reminded of is mainly what they did at night, and some of them were legendary for it. They sat around the fire and told what they called tall tales. The story might have been true, but it got embellished a lot. And some had a gift for that. Some were good at it, and they told that story, and they were telling the story not to be truthful. They were telling the story to entertain. It may have been fiction, but they weren't lying. They were just writing a good story. Well, when you look at Jesus, what we see in him is the whole story. Jesus is God's communication with us. Do you want to know everything that God intends for you? Pick up the Gospels and begin to read them. See what Jesus did. Look at what he taught. Look at the way he interacted with people. There were people that Jesus was harsh with. They were the religious leaders that were saying, you're not doing it right, God. you're messing all this up. And there were people that these religious leaders were harsh with that Jesus loved and forgave. And didn't condemn or condone sin, but said, look, you messed up. Come on, let's walk together. We'll start getting this thing right. He's the communication with us. And something, as I was thinking about this, and I'm not really sure how it popped into my mind other than God, but have you ever thought that God doesn't create endings? None of God's stories have an ending. So, well, now, we all have endings. We all die. Sin created those things. God allowed death because he didn't want us to live in sin forever. He didn't want us to live in these sinful bodies for 1,000 or 1,500, 2,000 years. Could you imagine? Feel bad enough at 56. I don't want to hit 1,560 years old or whatever. I don't want to see that. But the Garden of Eden was never intended to have an end. That's God's creation. That's the way he made it, but sin made him say, we've got to stop this. And when you begin a relationship with Jesus, that relationship never has an end. We talked about that some this morning, that once you are saved, you are always going to be saved. You may look like the worst rebel in the world at some point, but I think there are going to be people that have been saved at one point in their life and then turned away from God for whatever reason. And they're going to be the most surprised person in the world when they wake up in heaven one day. Because they didn't think that they don't think they deserve to be there, and they're right. None of us do. But God made a promise one time, and God said, you're my child, and that promise is never going to be broken. There's no end to it. And when we get to heaven, what we see, I can't wait to get back into Revelation and get to the end of the book, because what we see is that it goes on from there. There's no ending to it. There's no ending given. That's Jesus. We understand the person. Jesus is life, and he's also the light by which we view this life that we have. That's the Christ that we need to see to understand this person of Jesus, the Word. But we understand the action as well. Forget the goals for this year. And what I really want you to do is see Jesus for the person that he is and make knowing him your goal. And as you make knowing him your goal, you're going to see this next slide there to understand the action of God. The action of Jesus, what he did. It says there back again in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's a short verse, easy verse to memorize. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But here's what it's telling us. Jesus, through His choice, became something He had never been. And now He is still human. He became fully human. He had never been fully human. He was God. He was much greater than being human. But He lowered Himself and became flesh. And He still has that flesh in heaven. It's perfect. It's sanctified. It's made right. And it's what our bodies will be one day. But Jesus became something He had never been. And if you take, many of us, most of us probably did it this morning, take coffee grounds, throw them into a coffee maker and pour the water in and hit the button and that water comes over the coffee. And you no longer have water like this, do you? You got coffee. You got something really good. Makes you feel much better in the morning when you drink that first sip of coffee. It hasn't even hit my stomach yet and I feel better just because I had that first drink of coffee. But you can't take that coffee now and turn it back into water. Do the same thing with tea. Put that tea bag in the water and it turns into tea. You can't turn it back into water. It's something different. Something good. Christ became. He allowed Himself to be remade or made flesh. And then it says that He dwelt among us. Now, if you were thinking of where would Jesus live if He came back today, where would you want Jesus to go and make His home? We would think of somebody that important, well, He would have a place in some kind of a compound way off away from everybody else, and then every now and then He'd come out and mingle among the people. I'm a Donald Trump supporter. I think he's the best out of the options we had, okay? Put it that way, by far the best out of the options that we had. I still am kind of puzzled about seeing Donald Trump in a McDonald's drive-thru. Okay, you know, that's the big guy coming down and lowering himself to be among the minimum wage workers, you know, and all that. And he's doing that for about an hour, and then he's going to be gone, or however long he was there. Jesus doesn't do that. The word dwelt among us is tabernacled. He put His tent right there among us. He became flesh so that He could come and live with us. Not be separated from us, but that we could make our life with Him. That our life could be made one with Him. That we could have Him as a friend, as a model, as a Savior. But as one that is going to walk with us. And you know, God came becoming one of us to show us how He wants to live with us. He became one of us to show us that I'm not wanting separation from you. I'm wanting to redeem you. You have separated yourself from me. You have walked away from me, but I'm coming to you as one of you, living among you, not for a short time, but for all time. What an amazing God we serve. Y'all say amen to that, okay? That's a good place to say amen. We serve an absolutely amazing God. He didn't come and appear and disappear and reappear as He wanted to. He lived inside the city. He lived among the people for all the people to see. And He's still coming to us where we are because we can't go to Him without Him. Christ is meeting us today where we are because we have no ability to go to Him apart from Him. The last thing I want you to see is that we need to understand the reason He came. Understand the person of Jesus, who He is. Understand what He did. and understand the reason. The word in verse 15 there. Still verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we observed His glory. Glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ came and did what He did. That third slide there, that we can understand the reason, He did that to reveal God to us. Christmas presents are really nice when they're wrapped and they're under the tree and they're pretty and it all looks really good. And you know, when the kids were little and you could have the Christmas tree, just presents piled around it where you couldn't see the bottom of the tree. And you know, when they're young and they've got these things that are big toys. And we all know that the older they get, the smaller their pile gets and the more it costs. Remember? Those presents are beautiful being wrapped there. But the point of the presents is not to look pretty. The point of the presents is to be opened, isn't it? We want to give the present to somebody. We want the person to unwrap it. Jesus unwrapped God for us. And we were able to observe His glory, to see it. But observe carries a lot more with it than just seeing something. It also carries the idea of participating in it. You observe His glory, you get to now participate in it and be a part of it. That's what God wants for us. For us to see Him and then go and be with Him, join Him. Not just in heaven, but here. And the great thing, and what I want you to understand most, I think, today of everything I say, that the more time you spend with Jesus, the more you are going to be like Him, and the more He will elevate you, the more He will lift you up. Whatever skill you want to develop, if you get with somebody that is a master at that craft, then they elevate your craft by being around them and working with them. There are some of us that are decent wood carvers that are okay, but you get around some of these guys that are masters, and my work don't look so good anymore. But being around them will elevate what I do. I told the prayer group this morning the story about when I was 17, I was taking karate lessons, and 16, 17, probably while I was still 18, I guess, taking them. And the man that owned the karate studio wanted to spar with me all the time because I was too dumb to run from him. He wanted to work out. As soon as his foot would move, anybody else would be across the floor away from him. And I hung in there. Partly because he had already broken my cousin's, one of the other guys there broke my cousin's nose, and he was very much worried that he was going to get sued for this. So he made sure nobody got any blood on him when he was sparring with him. And so I didn't have to worry about him. He was not going to hurt me, and not on purpose anyway. There were a few times I heard my nose crack when it shouldn't have, but one day after classes, I was sparring with him. He was getting ready for a tournament, and he was going to be going up against a lot of guys that were at his level, so he was beating the devil out of me that day, okay? He was just not hard. It was light contact, but he was all over me, and I couldn't get away from him, and it was just one of those things where I was doing the best I could, but I was letting him just train and get ready. And said it was after everything was kind of closed, and there was my friend was sitting back there, had ridden with me, and he's watching through a two-way mirror, and another boy walks up. I was middle way through the belt ranks, and this kid was just barely out of being a white belt, and he's watching us spar, and he said, "Man, he's getting killed," talking about me. And my friend said, "Yeah," you know, "fighting the best guy around here, you know, of course he is." from the kid said, he must not be very good. I was on the competition team. I was pretty good at that when I was 17. I was pretty good. I'm not there anymore. It's a long time. My friend just said, he looked at him kind of funny. And the kid said, you know, I bet I could take him. And my friend's always up for a joke. And he said, I bet you could. When they're done, you need to go out there and touch gloves with him. So this kid comes out, touches gloves with me. He throws a punch, and I catch his fist. And I say, next time, do it this way. And he throws a few more things, and I catch his foot one time as he's kicking. And I say, do it this way. And then I threw a few at him, and all of a sudden he said, my mom's here, I got to go. And he was gone. I think he left his bag there. It wasn't that I was that good. I was sparring with the guy that owned the place. Okay, he was one of the best anywhere in the Southeast. And I was moving so much faster than I normally would have been, just trying to keep my head in place as we were sparring. And now this kid comes up, and he's way below me in ability. And I didn't know any of this other stuff had gone on. I came back there after the kid left, and my friend's still rolling on the, literally on the floor laughing. Dying laughing. I said, what? And he told me about it on the way home. I said, I wouldn't have been so mean to the kid if I, you know, I would have, I might have let him have a shot in there or two. But the point is, being with him, practicing with him, made me far better than I was. When you spend time with Jesus every day, and I'm not saying, look, you need to spend 30 minutes a day reading your Bible, and you need to spend 30 minutes a day in prayer. And then for you to come out tomorrow and say, oh man, I missed that. I only had about 10 minutes in my Bible and 5 minutes maybe in prayer. And I didn't, that's not at all what I'm talking about. When you go with Jesus, when you open His Word and read it, and not just to finish a chapter, but you listen, and you talk to Him about what you've read, and you begin to talk to Him about your life, however long that takes. If you've got 5 minutes before you've got to be out the door in the morning, take that 5 minutes. On the way into work or wherever you're going, talk with Him. While you're going through your day, talk with Him. You get a few minutes, put a Bible app on your phone if you don't have it, and open that up and just... If you're waiting at a doctor's office and you've got that, you know, got to be there at 9 o'clock, and if you're not there by 9:15, they're going to charge you for missing the appointment, but they're not going to take you back to see the doctor until 10 o'clock. You know, those kind of things. You've got time to sit and read. Use it. Not academically, but when you open up this word that is written down, something amazing happened 2,000 years ago. What had been written down in ink on paper became alive in the person of Jesus. And He lived among the men that were there at that time. And by His Holy Spirit today, He lives among us. And we get to live with Him. And here's the amazing thing. When you mess up, and you will, when you blow it, Jesus is going to say something like, didn't think that one through all the way, did you? Come on, let's go. You're forgiven. Now, when you go and you're openly in rebellion, you come to Him and ask forgiveness. There's a place for guilt and shame. When the Spirit of God says, you're guilty, you did this, you say, absolutely, I did, and I'm sorry. And God, I don't ever want to do that again. The more time you spend with Him, the more you're going to be like Him. Live your life with Him. I love this last verse, verse 18. No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son, who is Himself God, and is at the Father's side. He has revealed Him. Rather than saying you failed, Jesus says we've got more work to do. That's how He sees you. This same guy that I would hang in there and spar with. One night, bent over and put his hands on his knees and looked at me. And in the back of my mind, I'm going, don't be an idiot. But I'm looking at him thinking there's no way that he can defend himself the way he is. And as I came in, I found out how he could defend himself the way, you know, it just, I did some dumb things. And I got tapped. There were times he would say, you're leaving your side open. And then he would tap you in the side. And then you'd be getting up off the floor the third time because he would nail you to make sure you understood to keep that side closed. You may have some days like that with Jesus. You will have some days like that with him. But because he loves you, he's working with you. He's making you more and more like him, more and more into his image. And that's all that Christianity is. Us seeing Jesus and then imitating the one that we see through his power as we spend time with him. That's it. We look at people and say, you know, this person is walking with Christ, and man, there, I wish I had the relationship they have with Jesus. But we're not to compare ourselves with each other. We look to him. We spend time with him. We can learn from each other. We can help each other. That's what the body is for. But Christ is the model. Christ is the story. His story is, or your story, rephrase that, is the story of Jesus in you. That's your story. The story of Moses is the story of what God did through Moses. The story of Joseph is what God did through Joseph. The story of Jesus is what God did through Jesus, because he laid that deity aside as a and became that man. Never stopped being God, but just stopped using that power of God and showed us how to live with God. It's his story in you. Stop seeing the... It's not an exercise where I ran a mile yesterday, and so I'm going to run a mile and a quarter this week, and I'm going to try to get it to a mile and a half the next week, and those kind of things. Just live with him. Stay with him. And you can come to him today and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I have spent so much time trying to do this on my own. Show me how to just live in this relationship with you. And what you'll find as you come into this next year is Christ doing that very thing. If you don't know him as Savior today, you don't know what that relationship is like. You know about Jesus, but you've never known him. You can know him today because he's meeting you right where you are so that you can see him and you can see God and the love that they have for you. It may be that you need to come and pray for someone today. Whatever it is, we're going to have this time of invitation. Whatever decision you need to make, whatever you need to settle with God and get right with him. And you may say, preacher, this sounds kind of simple. It is simple. It was intended to be simple. If it was complicated, I couldn't explain it to you. And sometimes explaining something that's simple is harder than explaining something that's complicated. But that's what this is. That's the relationship that Jesus wants with us. If you would stand with me, we're going to pray. Stephanie was not feeling well, and she slipped out. And so we're just going to have Miss Carolyn come and play an instrumental for us. But while she's playing, if there's anything you need to settle with God this morning, anything that you need to get right with him, come do that this morning, whether you talk with me, pray at the altar. If you can't kneel at the altar, come sit on the front row. But deal with it with God, whatever he's telling you to do. You be obedient to him today. And say, God, from this point forward, we're just going to walk together. Okay, I'm going to ask Miss Carolyn, if you would, come on. I'm going to pray, and as after I've prayed, as she begins to play, just come as God leads you today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the word. You are the one that explains all of this to us, and it's just in you. It's so simple, so easy. But Father, we try to make it much harder than it is. So help us today to understand how to keep it simple, keep it easy, and not complicate this beautiful relationship that you want with us. And we'll give you thanks for all that you do right now. In your name we pray. Amen.